Life takes Americans lots of places. Military members, their families, and citizens living overseas can vote from all of them. Casting an absentee ballot is easy and convenient wherever you are. Everything service members and Americans abroad need to vote absentee is at fvap.gov.
Good day, everyone. My name is John McGowan. I am a lawyer living and working in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. I am a long-term member of the American Business Group in Abu Dhabi, which is commonly called AmCham Abu Dhabi. That's how we conduct business. And among other things, I'm a member of the US-UAE Public Affairs Committee. And today we're going to be examining and reviewing the Federal Voting Assistance Program, which is a program that we'll hear from my guest today on this podcast, Dr. Timothy Russell. Tim is a Foreign Service officer with the United States Department of State. He is currently stationed in Abu Dhabi at the U.S. Embassy, serving as vice consul. And as vice consul, Tim does many things. His primary responsibilities are to render services for U.S. citizens living in the UAE, working in the UAE, and UAE, visiting the UAE, and likewise for foreign nationals who need, perhaps would like to visit the United States and need a visa, or perhaps they want to immigrate to the United States. So, and among many other things on his plate at the embassy, Tim is also overseeing the Foreign Voters Assistance Program. And we may hear a few alphabet soups today. You know, the first one is FVAP, Foreign Voter Assistance Program. So Tim, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for making the time. I know you're so busy and the embassy does such a good job for all of us. Can you tell us, give us an overview of the FVAP program? I understand generally there's a two-part process. You know, voters in America, we know it's our civic duty to vote. The process is to register normally, right? And then you vote once you're registered. Could you tell us how that works in the context of the FVAP and give us an overview of the process?
Certainly. First of all, thanks again, John, for the invitation to be here today. I should say at the very beginning, the U.S. mission to the UAE is very proud of its partnership with AmCham. So when I received the email from you and the invitation to come and do this today, of course, I was delighted. So thanks very much. So yes, the Federal Voting Assistance Program, it is the federal agency. It's part of the DOD family, so it's within the many agencies that comprise our Department of Defense. And its mandate is to ensure that all eligible American voters who are living and working overseas have the tools available to them to vote in federal elections via an absentee ballot. It is not as simple as driving to your local voting location back home. There are a couple of other steps required, but I view my primary task as the voting assistance officer at the embassy in Abu Dhabi. My primary task is to dispel this myth that it is an opaque, cumbersome, complicated process. It is not. And the Federal Voting Assistance Program is really the entity that simplifies it. My job is just to sort of amplify it and explain it to the masses. So how does it work? What are the mechanics for voting? It really all begins with Americans living overseas going to fvap.gov, G-O-V. That's the first step. That's the most important step. And when you navigate to that website, which I believe is on the screen behind me here, you will see a big red button in the middle of the screen that says, request your ballot, request your federal postcard application.
Okay, so just to be clear, so the first step is another alphabet soup. Mm. It's the
FPCA.
FPCA.
Right.
Federal postcard application.
Right.
Okay.
And what that is, the FPCA does two things. It's one form, but it accomplishes two tasks. It registers you as an overseas voter, and it also enables you to request your absentee ballot from wherever you are going to vote back in the United States. So you're taking care of two things with just one form. Kudos to the folks at FVAP who designed the website and the whole process. It is actually a very user-friendly platform that prompts you for all the information that's required. So you can't, it's hard to mess it up.
Yes, and by the way, of course, the primary elections are over in most of the 50 states, if not all of them. So I guess people watching our podcast will be gearing up for the November 5th election. I'm voting in Pennsylvania, so mm-hmm. when I went to the FAP site, knowing I'd be meeting with you and not wanting to procrastinate, sure. you know, I went there, and you're right, it was very easy to navigate. I noted in Pennsylvania, at least, that I couldn't, yes, everything was easy filling out the postcard, if you will. It was very easy, but then at the end, signature, you know, being a lawyer, we like, you know, to move
yes.
things forward. We like to do things electronically.
You got
to
print it out.
Right, exactly. In Pennsylvania, at least, you have to print out that application and then sign and date it, then scan it, right? And send, at least in Pennsylvania, and send it back to the designated email address in Pennsylvania, the election office in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Is that how it works for the rest of the states?
I'm glad you mentioned that. It varies state by state. But most states now are accepting the federal postcard application by email. For all states, you are going to have a real signature. You're absolutely right about that. So you fill the form out online. Everyone will print it out. Everyone will sign it. And then I think there are five states currently that still require you to physically mail in a copy of the federal postcard application. So if any of your listeners, viewers are from, I shouldn't even say it because I'm probably going to get it wrong, but I think it's Alabama, Arkansas, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and maybe Vermont. Those five states, I think you still have to physically mail in a copy of your federal postcard application. But for everyone else, you fill it out online, you print it, you sign it, you scan it, and then you email it back just as you did for Pennsylvania, it sounds like. And as you would have seen when you were entering your home residence, it gives you the email address of where to send it to. So there's no question, where do I send this to? Via email, or if you have to physically mail it in, that information is provided to you in the course of entering in the data that's requested in the federal postcard application.
Fantastic. So the of course, the state election people in your respective state, for our audience, you know, the various 50 states, they're required, as I understand it, under the FAP program, to send the materials out, usually by email, you know. And so in Pennsylvania, for example, I will await those materials coming via email, correct? And then print them out and then vote. Is that how
That's
it works?
That's generally correct. So again, each state has its own approach to how it sends ballots to its registered voters. Again, the majority of states nowadays are sending out ballots electronically. So it sounds like in Pennsylvania, when you filled out your federal postcard application, you probably were asked if you wanted to receive it electronically, which is just so convenient nowadays. Most states offer that. I vote in Virginia, and Virginia is able to email the ballot. So yes, you and I and folks from the other states that will send ballots electronically can expect to receive their ballots probably in early September, I would say. The law says that federal ballots have to be sent out 45 days prior to the election. So if the election's on November 5th, you count back 45 days, that puts us somewhere in mid to late September. So I would anticipate folks receiving their ballots either via email or physical mail, if you happen to be registered in one of the states that is physically mailing the ballot out, sometime in the first half of September, I would say.
Okay, great. So citizens living in the UAE, they get their ballot, in most cases via email, they download it, they follow the instructions. Of course, different states have different issues on the ballot. You know, I'm sure some states have more papers than others, and perhaps, you know, different types of instructions. But essentially, we've all, most of us have voted before, and you follow the instructions and you vote, you fill out the ballot. Then what? Based on your experience as a voting officer, okay, people can follow those instructions and then seal their ballot. And can you talk a little bit about that process and the whole envelope? Because we're here in the UAE. For newcomers, you notice that the paper sizes are different, the envelopes are different. You know, I don't know how that works, you know, and you also have the issue of sealing. You don't want to use Scotch tape. I mean, these are little things, but little things mean a lot, because we don't want anybody's ballot to be discounted or discarded. So can you talk a little bit about that issue, the actual voting and preparing and sealing your ballot, and then we'll get into once they go to the embassy to drop off.
Sure. So there are a few states, I believe, that you can even submit your ballot electronically, but that's a small number. For the majority of states, yes, you have to do this physically. So you will have your ballot that you either received physically via snail mail or that you printed out from email. You know that you're going to have to send it back in. So what you can do is go on fvap.gov and you can print out the envelopes that are required for properly transmitting your ballot back to your election office. And you are correct. What you want to do is put your ballot into what is called a security envelope, and that's basically just a blank envelope that will be sealed. It's not addressed to anyone. And then that envelope will go inside another envelope. And it's that second external envelope that will bear the actual addressee, the two address that you'll be sending it to. So it's two envelopes. Your ballot goes in one, you seal that, and that envelope goes inside another one, which also gets sealed.
Okay. So it's the ballot itself that's sealed. That goes in a regular, say, plain white envelope, for example.
Yeah.
It can be brown. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, okay. So, but it's blank.
Correct.
And then that envelope, of course, a little bigger than the ballot.
Probably so, yes.
Yeah. And then that goes in an even larger envelope, which is addressed to the election officials in your respective state?
Correct. And again, the address is going to be provided to you in the process of filling out your federal postcard application. It also will be on the ballot that you receive. So you will have that information provided to you. FVAP.gov's website makes this very easy, because They have envelopes that you can print out. They've got a postage paid label that you can print out. If you're really technologically savvy, savvier than I am, you can feed your own envelope into your printer and it will print the postage paid label directly onto the printer, onto the envelope rather. If you're like me and you can't figure that out, you can print that information out on a piece of paper and affix it. You can just tape it to the outside of the envelope. So it'll be postage paid. So you don't have to worry about paying an international courier to ship this back to the United States or something like that. It's postage paid.
Okay.
But that's where the embassy comes in. Mm-hmm. May I talk a little bit about that?
Yes, but one quick question.
Please.
Yes, the international postage is paid, but for those of us who may not use U.S. postage stamps as much as we used to,
right,
like moi, you know, how do we, and if you're not super sophisticated technically like moi, how do we, you know, put the postage on there, the local postage?
So it's not local postage. That's not what you're getting from fvap.gov's website.
Okay.
You are getting postage paid within the United States postal system, which the embassy's diplomatic post office is a part of.
I see. So there's no stamps, local stamps,
correct,
required. Everything, even so, once it gets stateside, it'll be mailed to the election committee in the respective state, no charge. Okay.
Correct. Once you print out the postage paid envelope from FVAP's website, and you bring your envelope to the embassy, which we can talk about, we then take it and we put it in our own internal mail service and it gets shipped back to the United States, no postage.
Gotcha. Okay, sir, thank you for that. Can we move and talk a bit about, once the voter has his envelope ready to go, and is going to go to the embassy in Abu Dhabi, then what happens?
Sure. So at the embassy in Abu Dhabi or at the consulate in Dubai, for folks who are in Dubai, you can take your envelope with a ballot in it to our consular entrance at both locations, and that's very well marked on the street. You can't miss it. And there are, of course, security guards outside, and they will see that you have a ballot in your hand, and they'll know what you're doing, and they will lead you into the consular entrance, where there's a large drop box that's under lock and key, watched by guards, and you will put your ballot in the box. I check that box every day. I remove what's in it and take it back inside the embassy, and again, we put the ballots at that point into our own postal service, and it goes back to the United States. But it is up to the voters to bring their ballots to the embassy or to the consulate in Dubai, make their way into the consular entrance, and again, the guards will make this very easy and tell you exactly where to go and how to get this done.
And as I understand it, of course, visiting the embassy, one would need some sort of identification to show the guards, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Some sort of ID, and we're accepting these Monday through Thursday between 8 and 2:30. Friday between, I think, 8 and 10:30 in the morning.
Okay.
We'd be more than happy to have folks stop by and drop off their ballots.
And that's on the website, too,
yes,
the embassy,
yes,
website. Okay, great. So, Tim, a question. When a citizen living in Abu Dhabi goes to the embassy to drop off his ballot, let's say it's Mr. John Smith, and his wife is also voting, Can Mr. Smith take both ballots himself and drop two ballots in the box? What's the rule there?
Thanks for the question. That's a good question, because the legislation does apply to Americans and their voting age eligible dependents, wife and children, and we may have families living here in the UAE who have voting age children living in the home with them who also want to vote. Unfortunately, we ask each voter who is going to cast a ballot needs to put their ballot in its own envelope, and each person needs to come to the embassy or to the consulate to drop off the ballot so that we're upholding the integrity of the electoral process and not having a scenario where one person's bringing multiple ballots and stuffing the ballot box, so to speak. Instead, each person who's casting a ballot needs to come in person and deliver it.
Understood, and I'm sure our audience gets that point. Thank you, Tim, for that. For our audience, just to know the rule, you know, and then for Dubai, now I've been to the Abu Dhabi embassy many times. That is fairly easy to navigate. Like you say, there's security, there's signage. In Dubai, I haven't been there in recent years. How is it as easy in Abu Dhabi? You know, because Dubai can be a little fuzzy for the Abu Dhabi residents.
Challenging. The most challenging thing is parking, of course.
Yeah, okay.
But then my recommendation would be follow the flow of people. At both locations, there will be, you will see folks who know where they're going to interview for a visa. Follow those people because they are queuing up to get through our consular entrance, and that's where the drop boxes are. So if you see people walking in one direction with their bags and paperwork in hand, they probably are going to interview for a visa. Follow them, and as soon as you get to the first security guard, just inform them that you're not there to interview for a visa, you're there to drop off a ballot, and they'll guide you from there.
Fantastic. Well, this is great, Tim. Just one final question, if you would. Is there anything I left out, like, for example, anything else you would want to share with the audience? And also, if someone has a particular problem, I know, again, you have so many things on your plate, and in addition, you're the voting officer in Abu Dhabi. If John Smith, again, you know, is having a problem, I don't know, maybe at stage one, even downloading for whatever reason, or he's trying to scan he signed and scanned after sending in his, you know, trying to send in this postcard. Can they call you or contact you?
Sure.
And can you handle it? Okay, great. That's good to know. Hopefully there won't be too many of those, and that you're covering it on the website and doing what you're doing every day, making sure that the votes get shipped off to the states.
Yeah, I'll address that first, and then I'll come back to the other issue if there's any other points to raise. So absolutely, absolutely. Every U.S. embassy and consulate has a voting assistance officer. So I'm the officer for Abu Dhabi, and I have a colleague in Dubai, and our job is to help John Smith and others get answers to these questions. I can be reached by email at voteabudhabi@state.gov. That is the email address, voteabudhabi@state.gov. And my colleague up in Dubai is at votedubai@state.gov. He monitors that email address, and I monitor the one for Abu Dhabi. And again, our job as voting assistance officers is to speak with American communities overseas and walk them through this process and answer any questions they have. So by all means, if folks have questions, that's how I can be contacted.
Great. And those email addresses for our audience, we'll make sure that they're listed at the end of our video portion of this production. Is there anything else from you?
Say on the embassy's website, if you scroll down just a little bit from the homepage, you will see a button, American Citizen Services. And when you click on that, there's an option to click on voting info. Everything that we're talking about today is on that website.
Okay.
All of the information, the timelines for all 50 states, there's links to, there's a wealth of information, and we'll be updating that more and more as we get closer to November 5th. So I'd encourage people, if they have questions, that's another source of information. And John, just in terms of one last point that I'd love to make for your viewers, for your listeners out there, would be Americans overseas, we do not have a very good rate of voting, unfortunately. Historically, FVAP has found that voters in the United States are something like 10 times more likely to vote than folks like you and me living overseas are.
10 times more likely. Wow.
I think the latest, yeah. There's something like 3 million eligible U.S. voters all around the world, and something like only 8% of them voted in the 2020 federal election. So that is not a high figure. We need to get that figure, we need to raise that figure significantly. As you know, so many electoral races nowadays are being decided by incredibly thin margins. So every vote counts. And so I would encourage everyone who's listening and watching today, again, I think we're 145, 46 days out from the election. Don't assume that means you've got plenty of time to wait. Please go online, register, request your federal postcard application. If you have any questions at all, reach out to Vote Abu Dhabi or votedubaistate.gov. So that we can get that 8% figure up higher, particularly here in UAE, where we have a lot of Americans who are eligible to vote.
Fantastic. Well, Tim, this was excellent. I feel very informed. Hopefully our audience does as well. Thank you again for taking the time to come in and explain the process.
It's my pleasure. Yeah. Thank you, John.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers.